looking at the latest COVID news here, and there's some good news from public health officials across the city and the state. The city positivity rate is the lowest it has been since March 2020. Think about that for a second, since the pandemic really began. Of course, it probably began before that, but when they started tracking the numbers of cases, it is back to that level, which is certainly good news. A little bit of news from the state. Vaccine rollout, you just heard Jordan tell you, things on hold at the moment with the snowstorm, appointments being rescheduled, but now 2.5 million vaccines have been received, both doses, and it's 3.3% of the population. So that is good. One in four seniors have now gotten it. So we're moving along in the right direction. Dr. Jeffrey Copen, Chief Medical Officer, Northwestern Medicine, Lake Forest Hospital, joins us this Tuesday. Dr. Copen, you get in okay? Did you go into the office today, or where are you?
No, I did. I got to the hospital, left the house pretty early, and I got here okay. So it's certainly beautiful out. I mean, I'm a big fan of snow, as we've talked about before. Maybe not this much, Anna, but just a beautiful, beautiful day. And I'm happy that it's, not 5 below. I'm up here, it's 17 or 18 degrees. Nice. It feels balmy.
Oh, I love the positive outlook, Dr. Copen. Did you have to shovel today? I mean, did you have to do any of that?
Yeah, I was out early shoveling. I was amazed how by my house we got about 14 inches. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad I bought that new snow shovel at Costco earlier in this season.
It helps out in a time like this. I'm glad you did, too. And glad you're safe, too. Dr. Copen, hey, let's talk about just a couple of things that are crossing. There's some good news I just mentioned, and that's certainly... It's good to hear those kinds of numbers and the positivity and that kind of thing where we are.
2.8%. Isn't that great to hear?
Yes. How about that? 2.8%. Can I just ask you, what is it that's driving it? And vaccination rates are only 3.3% across the state. So, again, it can't just be that. As you start to look at the data here, or just sort of understanding the medical issues here, what do you think is driving that?
Well, I think part of it is people's behavior. I think people understand how we need to behave to keep transmission down. I suspect in our area, the lousy weather has helped that, right? It's hard to get together in big groups when it's hard to go outside, even to get anywhere. I also think, Anna, that this has been going on a long time. We're coming up on a year, as you pointed out. Mm-hmm. And a significant proportion of the citizens of the state of Illinois have had COVID already. Have literally been infected with COVID. And I think the number of people who have some type of immunity in the state is pretty significant. Certainly not at the level of herd immunity, that 70 to 80% that we've talked about, but I bet you we're getting close to half the population now that has some immunity to this virus. And I think that's helpful. So if you think about that, the number of people who have some natural immunity plus the increasing numbers of people who are being immunized, it's putting us in a good position. And I think we're seeing that in the decreased number of people who have new infections.
Yeah, I mean, that makes it, puts it in perspective in a really just a great way to think about that, that it's much more than the vaccines at work here. It's that immunity we're all trying to get to. Can I ask you also, Dr. Copen, I know every time you come on, it seems that there's another question about this very same thing, but it is in the news a lot, these new variants. And now they're showing that the United States may have our own worrisome variants. It isn't just the South African one and the UK one and these other ones are popping up, but there are some that are sort of homegrown, if you will.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, as we've talked about, and I think everyone knows now, viruses mutate and they change and we get different variants. I think a number of people now have heard of things like evolutionary biology. These are the scientists that actually study these kinds of things. I saw today that there's a variant that's been identified in 7 different locations in the United States. Okay, so the virus has mutated in a way that has been identified in a number of different locations. That's okay. I mean, that's what these viruses do. Here's the bottom line. Unless a variant is causing severe disease, hospitalizations and death, we're going to be okay. And we don't yet, we have not seen a variant that's doing that in the United States, and we really haven't seen that elsewhere in the world. We talked starting a couple of weeks ago, Anna, about the variant that was first identified in the United Kingdom. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of concern about increased transmissibility. That's probably true. And then there's this ongoing concern that perhaps this is a more deadly variant. Well, that hasn't been the experience around the world where this virus hit, where this variant of the virus has been seen. So it really, in the end, we have to understand, is that variant creating more severe illness, hospitalizations, and death? And thankfully, we're not seeing that. And the vaccines are still effective against these variants.
Oh. All good to hear, Dr. Copeland. I definitely like to hear all that. You know, I want to ask you about some of the side effects that are common with this vaccine. I got to tell you, I told you my mom got the vaccine last week, just about a week ago, and I called her right after. How you feeling, Mom? How you feeling? And the next day, how's it going? Are you okay? Anything going on? Any symptoms? Nothing. She's 80, and she had no reaction, but I am hearing that some people do, and I'm wondering what you can tell us about that.
Yeah, so the most common side effect after getting the vaccine is injection site tenderness. That's what I had, by the way. I had injection site tenderness. Matter of fact, it woke me up in the middle of the night. I rolled over on my side onto my arm, mm-hmm. and it hurt. And I woke up and I smiled to myself. I was happy about that. Why was I happy about that? Because that means my immune system was reacting to the vaccine and I was making antibody. That was good. Another common effect is people feel achy. Again, that's a good thing because the achiness is a manifestation of the body's immune system reacting to the vaccine. And some people can develop low-grade temperatures, 100.4. Some people can go up to 101. And that's a self-limited kind of thing, usually half a day, maybe a little bit more. People can take Tylenol when that happens, and they're going to feel fine. The other thing is 80-year-old people like your mom, mm-hmm. not unusual that she felt fine. Our younger colleagues, like here at Northwestern, who, like some of our nurses in their, who are like 28 years old, they had pretty significant effects after the second vaccine, and that's been noticed around the world, and that's to be expected. It's that good, robust immune response. People kind of felt punk for a day, and then they were fine after that. Nothing to fear from those kinds of side effects. Again, that's the immune system doing what it's supposed to do.
That's surprising to me that younger people would have a lesser reaction.
It's the opposite. Yeah. They'll have a greater reaction.
I misspoke. They have a more significant reaction to it. I wonder, is the second vaccine one leading to more of a reaction, or the first one, or in general? Is that what you would say about both of these vaccines?
Typically the second one, Anna, will create a greater response, and it makes sense, right? So the first one is kind of like the priming dose. It's teaching the body's immune system to react to the virus. The second dose is the booster, right? So it's adding to what happened to the first one. And we know from the phase 3 trials that Moderna and Pfizer did, that, boy, after that second dose, our bodies just make tons of good antibody and a really good immune response to the virus. So that's the reason why that second injection can create these side effects. And again, remember, the side effects are good. This is good. It means that the body is responding appropriately to the vaccine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's important to note that. I was sort of surprised when my mom said that, but now I guess that's what should be expected, that older folks are not really feeling much of a reaction to it. Can I ask you about what's going on in Israel, Dr. Copan? Because they seem to be way ahead of the pack when it comes to getting the vaccine out to people, into people's arms at a pretty, you know, a great rate. And now you're looking at the situation where cases have dropped 94% with the Pfizer vaccine, the Israeli data show. They've got now some new data that show it's really working.
Yeah, it's amazing. The Israel has four major healthcare providers, what we would call HMOs in the United States. And the largest of these providers, it's called Clalit, it's the name of the company. They've been tracking the folks that they've been vaccinating. And the data that comes out from these healthcare providers is really very, very impressive. So what you're talking about right now, they looked at several hundred thousand people who were vaccinated, and they compared them to a similar number of people who did not get vaccinated, and they matched them by age and a whole bunch of other variables, and they showed over a 90% decrease in new COVID infection in the people who'd been vaccinated compared to people who were not vaccinated. And the reason that's so important is that's real-life confirmation of what we learned from the phase 3 trial that Pfizer had done. So very, very exciting. One of the scientists involved in the study described it as a beautiful result, and I agree with him.
Yeah, that is, it is a beautiful result. I'd agree with that, too. Really comforting to hear that that could be around the corner for us, too. Just quickly, something you've talked about before, Dr. Copan. There's stories out about it today. It's obesity is a huge, huge, it's a contributor for, you know, making your COVID case be that much more severe. They're looking at about 1 in 11 of the deaths in the Cook County Medical Examiner's Office had obesity as a contributing cause. It's something they're really looking at, and I hope those folks are getting the vaccine, too.
Yeah, and obesity is one of the chronic disease states that will be in the next phase of vaccinations that we're going to be giving. And, you know, this is something that we noticed, Anna, going back to March when the pandemic first started. Our obese patients were just having a really hard time. Some of the sickest people that we saw early on were our obese patients. So what exactly is it about obesity? Is obesity itself the culprit? Is obesity a marker for something else? We don't know. But obesity absolutely puts people at risk that if they do contract COVID, they might have a more severe case than somebody who's not obese.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Copan, I just thank you for your time. I thank you. You're always informing us and so well, do it so well, explaining everything. All of us at WGN appreciate you. And on a day like today, where I'm sure things are awfully busy, just thanks. Thanks for the time.
My pleasure. Anytime, Anna. Everybody stay safe. Wear your masks. Physically distance. We're going to get through this and get vaccinated when you can.
Yes, we are. Thank you, Dr. Copan. Dr. Jeffrey Copan there. He's the Chief Medical Officer, Northwestern Medicine, Lake Forest Hospital.